Amen. Good morning, everybody. To our guests, we just want to extend another welcome to you and say that we're so thankful that you've decided to join us for our worship gathering today. To the members, I want to say to you that greeting guests is always wise. Angels usually come in disguise, so don't forget to greet an angel this morning, to greet someone you don't know, and to show great levels of hospitality to those that are joining us today. I'll tell you that as I look around the auditorium this morning, I'm noticing several families that have, you're almost on the borderline of no longer being guests because you've been joining us so often. And we're just so happy that you are doing that as you're kind of feeling us out about whether or not this is going to be the place where you land for a church family. And so as you're trying to make that decision, I want to strongly encourage you, if you want to ask any questions, please see me after the service today. I'd be happy to answer any questions you have or direct you toward anybody that maybe could help you. Or if you're ready to think about making Maryville your permanent church family and identifying with us, I'd like to direct you to one of our shepherds so they can talk with you more about what that might look like. But we want everybody to have a church family, and everybody to feel the warmth of and the beauty of Christian community. It's a very, very important thing in the highs of life and in the lows of life to have people around you that you can trust and that support you and that can help. We can help each other in our faith journey. So with that said, I just want to say a word or two about a couple things. First of all, we did spend all day yesterday, the ministers and the elders, on an off-site meeting. As David mentioned at the outset, we spent time in prayer, we spent time in planning and discussion, we spent time in some really meaningful devotional time with each other. We were there from 7:30 in the morning till 5 o'clock in the evening, spent all day together. And I just want to say to you coming out of that as your pulpit minister here, we have some really great men serving as shepherds of this church, and you can feel confident in these men, and you should give thanks to God for them, and you should be praying for them, and we're just extremely blessed. It's one of the most, I think, encouraging, fruitful, beneficial meetings that I've personally been a part of with leaders in the church yesterday, and so you should just really give thanks to God and say a thank you to these men. It's a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of emotional investment, a lot of sacrifice on their part, and so please say something to them and thank them for their labor in the Lord. But then in addition to that, of course, as David also mentioned, we're in the process of trying to add more men into this role of shepherding. And today is the last day for you to nominate someone. And I want to say just one brief word to the men that may be considering, as individuals maybe approaching you about maybe nominating your name for consideration. In light of what has been happening in our culture this past week, let me say this regarding church leaders. We're not looking for men with squeaky clean records, because the Scripture tells us we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But the Scripture also tells us that what we're looking for in men that would lead God's people are men that have come to terms with the fact that they are in desperate need of God's grace. They've accepted Jesus into their life. They're on a Jesus-filled life now and are filled with God's Holy Spirit now and are moving forward in trying to live for Christ. And we can see that there's a track record over the past many years that they've been living in that direction, and they have something to offer. And so I just felt compelled to say that because we can sometimes be intimidated to step into roles of leadership because we feel in some ways inadequate, or we know that, you know what, I've made a lot of mistakes in my past and I've not always been who I should be. Well, guess what? That's everybody. That's everybody. We're trying to look for men that of late have demonstrated some experience in living with the Lord. And so take that as you will, and continue to pray for that effort as well. Okay, so today I've got a message to share with you, and it's from the words of Jesus. And if you want to be looking in your Bibles at Luke chapter 8, that's where we're going to find our text today, Luke chapter 8. So today's message that I just want to kind of open up for you and me today is one that is really a personal, introspective kind of lesson. So I want you to think in terms of, as we think about this text, I want you to be thinking about yourself. Okay, so that's what we're all going to be doing, is going to be doing some self-inventory about our hearts. I'm calling this a heart check. So today's a heart check. So I want you to be looking at yourself, looking at your own heart, and I'm going to be doing the same. And let's take an honest look at ourselves. Let me start this way. Praise God for Jesus, because Jesus has given us something that is absolutely phenomenal, and that is the forgiveness of our sins. So the past has been wiped clean. We have experienced a renewal of relationship with our God, regardless of what we've done in our past, because Jesus paid for it and has freed us from it. Now, that's an amazing gift, let me tell you. Talk about amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's an amazing gift. It absolutely is. But I want to tell you something else about that. Jesus did not just come to give you forgiveness alone. He came to bring the kingdom of God into your life. So, look at Luke 8. We're going to look at the first four verses. Luke 8, beginning at verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Did Jesus come to provide forgiveness? Yes. Is forgiveness good news? Absolutely. But notice that this text is emphasizing that what Jesus went around telling people about, the good news he was proclaiming in these villages, was the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had been cast out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means, financially backing the ministry of Jesus. Women were extremely important to the ministry of Jesus, vitally important. And Luke points that out. While a large crowd was gathering, and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them a parable. Now, we're going to get to the parable in just a second, but right now I want you to see that forgiveness of sins that Jesus gives you and me, that's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. The kingdom of God coming into your life, the dynamic and the power that will transform you and me to be more like God, that is something that is entering our hearts to transform us and to heal us. You see, it's not enough to just have your past erased. We need our present condition repaired. We need to be healed and transformed. And that's the power of God's kingdom coming into your life. Now, how do we enter the kingdom? Or maybe to put it a little bit better way, how does the transforming power of the kingdom come into us? Well, Jesus is very clear about how the kingdom comes into a person's life, and it is in a very unusual and unexpected way. It comes by hearing. So Jesus ends this section in verse 18 of Luke 8 by saying, "This is why you should carefully consider how you listen." Because how you listen is the determining factor as to what degree the kingdom of God's transformative dynamic power enters into your heart or doesn't. Now, earthly kingdoms, you know how they come. They come when you've got somebody in great power that conquers a land and they bring about a new kingdom, a new tyranny, a new reign, a new rule. Or perhaps earthly kingdoms come through coercion or through force. But Jesus' kingdom comes to the person that of their own free will chooses whether or not they will listen and accept what Jesus is saying to them into their heart. Now, to drive that point home, Jesus tells a parable. What's a parable? Well, a parable is a story from everyday life that everyone can relate to that is used to illustrate a great spiritual reality. So Jesus tells this story about a farmer. They would have no doubt been able to easily relate to this, being an agrarian society. They understood farming practices. And even though that might be somewhat foreign to some of us, I think we know enough, particularly living in the culture in which we live in the southern United States, about agriculture to understand that the way life comes in the plant world is through the sowing of seed. And so he tells a story about four different kinds of soils, types of earth, types of dirt, that the seed falls on as a sower goes out to sow seed. Let's begin at verse number 5 and read through verse 8. Jesus told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And when he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Jesus is not giving an agriculture lecture. Instead, he is most definitely talking about four different kinds of hearts. Some hearts, you see, receive the dynamic power of God's kingdom rule, and others reject it. And why is that? It has everything to do with the kind of listener that you are. You see, some people claim to be able to see spiritual realities, but in truth, they are blinded to these real realities. And the others claim to be able to hear what God is saying, and yet they're truly deaf to the truth, and they don't really get it. But look at verses 9 through 10. His disciples asked him and said, ask what this parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that through seeing they may not see, through hearing they may not understand." You see, the secret of the kingdom of God is something that we must be receptive to hearing. Truly and honestly and deeply receptive to hearing it. Because there are some of us that will claim we have been enlightened to understanding spiritual things. We think we can see, we think we can hear, but not really. Because we've not really let the power of the kingdom of God's rule and reign really sink down into our hearts. We think we know a lot, but emotionally, spiritually, we have been resistant to really let God into our lives. So, the four kinds of hearts. Let's look at each one of them briefly. First, there is the hard heart. Now, let's read verses 9 through 15, and then we'll look at each one of them, starting with the hard heart. Beginning at verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. Now notice first, the first kind of heart is the hard heart. You know, some hearts are just hard. Some hearts resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Some hearts ignore the message of the gospel. Some hearts refuse to open themselves to the power of God in their lives. And there are different reasons as to why a heart might be hard. Some hearts are hard because a person has been trampled on their entire lives. They have been really taken advantage of or wounded by life's circumstances and situations. And so they're bitter. And in perhaps an act of self-defense, they have closed their heart against anything that would be of real substance to penetrate the depths of who they are. Some hearts are hard because their conscience has been seared by a lifestyle being engrossed in sin. But some people are hard-hearted because they never really hear the word with their heart. They only hear the word with the intellect only. You see, a seed cannot germinate until it goes under the soil. You can regularly come in contact with the Word. You can be an avid student of the Word. You can dissect all the passages and know all the backgrounds and do all the word studies. And you can be a scribe, a student of God's law. You can know it inside and out with the intellect and yet be resistant to let God's Word penetrate your heart. For this person, Christianity is always theoretical. But you gotta let the Word go down into your heart and wake you up to truth until it thrills you. You see, this is the hard heart that doesn't let the Word penetrate deeply. It's just an intellectual pursuit. But then notice the second type of heart is the shallow soul. Some hearts are shallow. That is, here's an individual who excitedly receives the message of the gospel. It says they receive it with joy, but when difficult times come, they reject their faith because the soil is shallow. You see, whenever he says the rocky soil, don't think of that in terms of soil mixed up with some rocks, but instead it's talking about you've got a solid bedrock with a thin layer of soil on the top. So when the seed is initially planted, it has fertile soil on top. It immediately springs up and begins to look like there's going to be tremendous growth. But as it tries to put down deep roots, it hits the stone and the sun comes out. And because of the lack of moisture and the thin layer of soil, the heat of the noonday sun wilts and kills the plant. See, this is the individual that listens to the word, but they only listen emotionally. In contrast to the hard heart that only hears the word intellectually, the shallow soul only hears it emotionally. And so Christianity is very sentimental. It's very moving and inspirational and quickly received with joyfulness. And the person's eyes are opened and they're passionate about what they're learning, but they can't take the heat when times of trouble or suffering come. Because they've had an emotional experience, but they never understood the commitment of the kingdom. This individual wants God to bless them. They want the blesser, but they never wanted the Savior. They were worshiping God, but really for what God could give, not so much for God Himself. This is the shallow soul. Thirdly, there is the preoccupied person. You see, some people listen to the word, but their interests are divided. They have a divided heart. Not just an intellectual heart or an emotional heart, but they have a divided heart. And this person hears the word and takes root and begins to grow and looks like is going to be a very committed believer in Jesus, but they never bear any fruit. And why is that? Because when you're committed to Christ, you can be committed to Him, but share commitment with other things. And your life is never changed. You've been living as a Christian for decades. You've been coming to church for years and years and years. But you are still the same person that you always have been for the most part. Your life is never changed because your life is choked out by a divided interest. So Christians like this that have heard the word, that are preoccupied in their hearts, are always doubting their salvation and are always anxious about their walk with the Lord. You see, the only way that you'll ever be both holy and happy is if you give God the complete devotion of your heart. You'll never be both holy and happy until that point comes. You see, you can be a person who says, I want to give my life to Christ, and you give your life to Christ, and you never go back. You never go back. You always stay with Christ. But you never go forward either. Because your interests are divided and you're preoccupied. And so you know what Christianity becomes for you? Miserable. It becomes miserable. You got just enough religion to be miserable and never enough of Jesus to be really joyful. Because you're preoccupied. A preoccupied heart. Because Christ is being crowded out from your life because of worries, because of work, because of riches or pleasure. And yes, you'll always be standing with Jesus, but there's never any real fruit in your life. There's never any real change, no real growth in your life, and nobody really growing because of the influence of your life either. Why is that? Because your heart is divided and you're a preoccupied person. But then, fourthly and finally, is the honest heart. Some hearts, Jesus says, are good and honest. Verse 15. In the parable, some seed fell on the good soil, and when it did, it grew up and matured and produced a crop to the level of being 100 times as great. Verse number 8. This is the heart of the honest hearer. The heart that receives the word and allows it to penetrate deeply into their lives and to permeate every aspect of their personality and character. This heart perseveres through times of difficulty and trial because the seed has taken root. And this heart, although initially being planted with a small seed, grows and grows and grows and produces fruit for God the entire time. It grows to the point of 100 times, so that 100 times more other little seeds are the result that are also sown in the hearts of other honest hearers. You see, this type of heart, the honest hearer, is the person who receives the dynamic, transforming, powerful work of the kingdom of God into their lives. And they receive the kingdom, and they grow and they mature to the point of becoming a disciple who makes other disciples. That is the honest hearer. So I just want to ask you, from those four hearts, I told you at the outset, this is a sermon that is one for you and me to be very introspective and honest about ourselves. It is not my place to determine the condition of your heart. And it is not anybody else's position to do that either. But I want every one of us to leave here today honestly looking inside of us, not looking to anybody else, but looking to me, looking to you, looking to each one of us individually. I need to look into myself. You need to look into yourself and ask the honest question. What kind of heart do I really have? Today is a day for a heart check. And the challenge that I want to issue to all of us, that I just think is straight from what Jesus is saying here, is that whenever it comes to listening to God's Word, when it comes to listening to the leading of God's Holy Spirit, when it comes to trying to be in tune with what God is trying to say to my life and the conviction that He's trying to bring into my life, how am I listening? How am I hearing? It has been said, and I think rightly so, that listening well and listening deeply, listening with understanding and listening with openness to be willing to go where God is trying to nudge you to go, is the primary skill of the kingdom of God. Without it, the kingdom of God cannot enter into you. You can't enter the kingdom without being a listener. And without listening, the power of kingdom can't enter your life either. Perhaps the best way to conclude this sermon would be simply with the words of Jesus. Those who have ears, let them hear. Today, are you being prompted by the Spirit of God, by the voice of Scripture, to consider that maybe you have been resisting His voice? I want you to leave here today looking deeply within your own heart to say, what kind of heart do I have? And if you've been a preoccupied heart, if you've been a person that has been a hard heart, if you've been somebody that you say, you know what, I've been pretty shallow in my faith, if you will pray to God honestly and say, Lord, I need some help. I want to be an honest hearer. If you pray to the Lord of the harvest, He's the one that made all this soil. And He can cultivate it, let me tell you. He can cultivate the soil of your heart if you'll let Him. But it's up to you. Jesus does offer you forgiveness of sins, and you can come and receive it today by believing in Jesus, confessing His name, repenting of your past, and choosing to follow Jesus and be buried with Him in baptism. But He doesn't have in mind just to forgive you of your past sins. He wants to implant in you a dynamic new power to heal you and change and transform you and grow you into a citizen of His kingdom. And maybe you need to invite that into your life today. If we can help you in any way, if you need prayers with the shepherds of this flock, they're going to be available in the library. If you want to come forward and we can just pray all together. If we can help you in any way, come to Jesus as we stand and as we sing.